Most of all, for that blood, that you and me were able to wash our garments, wash our hearts, wash our past, wash ourselves from the committed transgressions by the blood of Jesus Christ. So thank the Lord this morning for His love and His salvation to me. I'd like for us today to look at the connection between the peace of God and bearing fruit for God. Between that which God has to bestow on us, the forgiveness of sin, the gentleness and the power of the Holy Ghost, right standing, no warfare between us and God, peace in our heart, peace in our homes, peace in our life, and being trees of righteousness, bearing fruit for the Lord. And I believe the Bible will show us that there is a connection between the two. In James 3 and 18, I'd like to look at a scripture this morning. James 3, 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So he speaks of two things here. The fruit of a righteous life, and that it is sown, that it is spread, that it is demonstrated, that it is planted by those who have peace or those who have the peace of God in their heart and in their life. We've learned from what people have taught us and we've read. We also have learned by our own experiences that one of the things that kill people early and one of the things that prevent plants from bearing the right amount or perhaps any fruit at all is stress. Stress, we know, is a killer. It's a killer to the body. It's a killer to the mind. And it's a killer to us and plants themselves bearing fruit. Also, we've learned that war, there's no way to truly glorify war. War is designed for one thing, and that's by force destroy or kill your enemy. It's not meant to give life. It's not meant to bring happiness, but it is meant for destruction. So I'm glad this morning as we look into the thought of you and me being fruit bearers, that we can have a peace, that we can have tranquility, that we can have the absence of warfare, and that you and me can truly have that in our own life. That is fertile ground that we can have in our own experience and in our mind, that which is fertile and productive in bearing fruit unto the righteousness and to the glory of our Heavenly Father. He said, and the fruit of righteousness, the product of being a saved individual, the product of having our sins forgiven, it's not just for the joy and for the satisfaction of knowing we're forgiven. That's very wonderful and tremendously great, and praise God for that. But it also begins to set us on a pathway that you and me heretofore have been unable to do, and that's bear fruit under righteousness, because we have now peace. We have now that absence of warfare. So as we look into the Word of God, we'll find, and we know this already, one of the responsibilities we have as Christians is to bear fruit, that others will see our good works and glorify the one who gave them, or our Father which art in heaven. But we can't do that without peace. We can't do that with stress and tumult and angers and warfares in our life. They're too powerful for us. They're too great for us. And if they are there in our life and without God's peace and joy, we will react according to that which is ruling or that which is disrupting our lives. So we thank God this morning that our lives can have peace with God. And in that peace, in that forgiveness, in that new creature, every one of us can now bring forth fruit under righteousness, the fruit of righteousness, the product of being clean and clear and holy before God is sown in peace. It's not a sowing of anger or sowing of vindictiveness or trying to compel and make and require and browbeat others into this life. But it is a peaceful habitation that we sow out of the very fruit of that righteousness, and it makes peace. It brings quietness and it brings gentleness. When you look at the word peace, there's some definitions in the Greek I think were interesting. The one we might think of first of all is the absence of warfare. It's an exemption from the rage and the havoc of war. We look around and war sometimes is looked on as necessary or glorious in the flesh. But we watch men and women who've come back from that experience, and they're never quite the same, are they? They've always got scars and injuries and hurts, and it's hard for them many times to adapt back to a civilian life. And sure, it's a rage, and it is a havoc, and peace is an absence of that. It's an exemption from that. Did you know this morning God wants to exempt us from the rages and the havoc of being a sinner, of the cost, of the expense that it takes on us and the toll that it takes on us? God wants to bring peace and an absence of that estrangement, and He wants to bring us back into a relationship with Him. This word peace means that which exists between individuals of harmony and concord. One of the attributes of a fleshly life is it's selfish. And selfishness can disguise itself sometimes. People can be at times magnanimous. People can at times be gracious. But when the stress comes, when the issues arise that touch one's heart, you'll find that that selfishness will exert itself. And regardless of what its cost, it'll show itself. But this peace that brings fruit, that brings forth something to the glory of God, He speaks about it as being harmonious and in concord, in agreement with, and a gentleness. And there's another definition in the Greek that I found rather interesting that I'd never seen before. This word peace also means and can mean security and safety. It means prosperity and happiness. Yes, even great happiness. And I thought on that. If you think about people that have genuine peace, we find them, first of all, happy, do we not? We find them able to cope with life's difficulties. And we find them drawing from a well other than the well of one's own flesh. And we find that which comes out of them is harmonious. It works for peace, or it makes peace. Because peace and harmony, because peace, it makes us and causes us to feel safe. And did you know when we're truly confident, when we're truly feeling protected, when we know our case is rested in the hands of a righteous judge, did you know that relieves us of the stress of trying to prove ourselves? When you and me can take our life and say, I've committed it to the Lord, He is my justifier, my vindicator, and I have peace, and I know between me and God there is no warfare. My sins are forgiven. I am a new person. I have been born from above. And those things that I once did, I no longer do. There is therefore now no condemnation. Folks, that brings us to a place of confidence. That brings us to a place of rest. That brings us to a place to know that I can trust in Him who saved my soul. So this peace that we have is a true relief of the stress of trying to live it on our own, or trying to live our own life, or trying to live it through head knowledge or just trying to be victorious because society appreciates a nice person. It brings us prosperity. Not so much in this world and not in the wealth of this world, but it makes us rich toward God. It makes us able to hear the voice of our beloved. There's no cross-contamination with the world. A pure heart can hear and receive without static and without interference. It makes us rich in love. It makes us rich in the fruit of the Spirit. He speaks to us about bearing much fruit. And we can do that if first we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we have that peace, then it is something beautiful. Over in Psalms 119, to kind of support this thought about the word peace means safety and security and prosperity and happiness. Over in Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law. And then he goes on to say, and nothing shall offend them. You know, we live in a time, probably it's always been this way, people are so easily offended and easy to have their toes stepped on. And most of us, when we get our toes stepped on, we react. Rarely do we just not even make a ouch or anything. But he tells us that this great peace enables us that when our toes are stepped on, when our cages are rattled, when something comes to tempt us, when those things that arise that would heretofore make us angry or jealous or cause us to lash out or cause us to be afraid and to cower in something, he tells us that this peace produces a new kind of fruit, something different, that men will marvel at and glorify God in the demonstration or the bearing of it. And he said, nothing shall offend them. That's the security God wants us to have, that our sins are forgiven, that I can say with John, even so come, Lord Jesus, willing for the Lord to come to receive me, that confidence, that knowledge, that security, that I have peace with God. And now, when the issues of life arise, I can bear fruit in agreement with that peace or that knowledge that you or me have within our own selves. That's something God has to give every one of us. Romans 5:1, we know this scripture well. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think this. If you and me are struggling with bearing fruit, if you and me are worried and concerned about the relationship we might have with the divine, if we're not secure, if there's not harmony, if we don't truly feel or we doubt the safety of his arms, check and look and see. Have we been justified? Have we been forgiven? And since we've been forgiven, is the record clear? This is a connection between knowing in whom we have believed, knowing that he has forgiven us, knowing that all things, the old things, have indeed passed away. They're not any more laid to my charge, that we have between the person and the divine no warfare, and all things are forgiven. When that justification and a knowledge of that and a confidence in that, he said we have peace with God. There is that security. There is that joy. There is that exemption from the ravages of war and the conditions that go on around us. There is a freedom that you and I now can express and bear fruit unto God. Thank God this morning that he wants you and me to have peace. For peace he came, And not as the world gives, but He wants this morning to give us, every one, His peace. And what peace is that? It's the peace that He has with the Father. Thank the Lord that we can have today peace. And because we have peace, we can have confidence. And because we have confidence, we can bear fruit that will glorify God and bring honor to His name. Matthew 13 and 46. He spoke about a person. Might look this up. Matthew 13 and 46. About a person who found something of great value. Something wonderful, to say the least. He found a jewel. He found a pearl. And he talked about it a little bit. Matthew 13 and 46. And again, the kingdom of heaven. Thank God for that kingdom. And it can reign within us this morning. And it's a kingdom of peace, not a kingdom of warfare. It's a kingdom of glory and honor and bearing fruit to the Father. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth. He recognizes the value of it. May this morning you and me understand the value of the great peace that we can have through Jesus Christ. The great peace with God. The exemption from the conviction of sin. Not that if we sin we won't be convicted, but freedom from being convicted of the sins we have committed, knowing that they've been washed and we're under the blood. May we this morning understand the value of the security of that peace. That you and me can have boldness because of this peace and this kingdom and this washing on the day of judgment. That we can stand before the Lord without sin, our garments without spot, without wrinkle, and without blame. That's the peace God wants for each one of us. And in that peace comes forth the glory of God, fruit unto righteousness, or fruit of righteousness. So we need to understand what the Lord has made available and appreciate it like this man did. This man saw this valuable thing, and he went and bought the field, took everything he owned and sold it. I suppose he got all of his collateral, he got all of his disposable property, and he put it on the block and he sold it so he might find this valuable thing. And he buys the field. Then in the 45th verse, it said, and the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant, man seeking goodly pearls. He recognized, he understood the value of the costly things. So when he had found one pearl, and may I say this morning that that's what the kingdom is. It's the one pearl. There's not a multitude of pearls. There's not a multitude of ways. There are a lot of things that offer, supposedly, what the kingdom has to offer. But there's one kingdom. There's many ways that are offering what Jesus has to give. But Jesus said, I am the way, the one way. And no one comes to the Father. No one finds this pearl. No one finds this deliverance. No one finds this peace but by Jesus Christ. And he said, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought the pearl. May the Lord help us today to see the value of salvation, the great treasure of the Lord. And it's to make not a little impact, but a significant impact on our life. It is to make an absolute difference. The old passes away, and behold, all things become new. This pearl, or this treasure hid in the field, it wasn't just an incidental thing. It wasn't just something passing by. But it caused the man, the merchant, to stop. It caused him to count cost and weigh who he was and what he was worth and what he would be worth if he owned the pearl or owned the treasure. And he recognized that physically or financially speaking, he would be much, much, much better off taking all that he had and getting rid of it, selling it, and going and buying the field or buying the pearl. You and me, Lord, help us today to understand we can never give up too much for the value that we find in this pearl, for the peace of God that absolutely passes understanding, passes the ability for man to tell about. May we today see the significant impact then. If something was so powerful or so valuable that you were willing to go and sell everything you had to buy it, would that not make a great impact on your life? And don't be surprised if that opportunity comes your way. Some won't call you foolish. And don't be surprised that people look on us as living a Christian's experience and living to the Word of God as paying too much. But I thank God today it's not too much. We found the pearl of great price. Now we have peace with God. Now we're in a position to bring forth something to the glory of God. We can be witnesses for God. And if you think about it, could you think of a greater honor than to be called an ambassador for Jesus Christ? To be a witness of Jesus Christ? To bring forth fruit, if you will, works, if you will, that actually glorify God. When you think of all the glory that belongs to God, and then to think He allows you and me by our works, our words, and our actions, and our very life itself, to glorify Him. That's quite an honor. May we see this pearl of great price. May we see the value of it and reach out and embrace it. Indeed, sell all that we have. In Colossians 3 and 15, Paul gives some advice concerning this peace. I'm speaking mostly of peace right now because without it, we're tilling in ground that's barren. It doesn't have the nutrients. It doesn't have the freedom from the stress. The sun beats on it, or the rains continually fall on it, or insects inhabit it, or it's prevented from bearing fruit because of the environment around it or the environment in it, the stress that's placed on it. So first there must be the fertile ground, and there must be the peace, the freedom from the stress, and not under the power of that stress or the addiction to stress. And there must be an exemption from the war that exists, lest that's going to take all our time and we're not able to bring forth fruit because we have nothing then to rely on but ourselves. And how many times have we failed God? How many times have we failed our own self when we react in the flesh? It'll happen every time. Colossians 3 and 15 has something to do with me and you and our permission. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Allow, let, permit, submit to. Let this peace, what does it say? Nothing shall my peace disturb, free and happy as a bird. When something comes along that attacks the peace in our relationship or our knowledge of God, I think of it this way. Let's do that which makes for peace. Look at the situation. Look at the alternatives. And find out, look and ask God, which is the peaceful way? And allow that, the strength and the power in your life, and submit to that. That calls on me and you to value that pearl, to value that price, to value what was paid for our salvation. And look on it, this is the pearl of great price. This is the treasure that I must have. I cannot relinquish my treasure because of an attack. because of an offense. But we can have power over those offenses because I'm not going to lose by the grace of God this peace of God. So now I'm going to give it preeminence. I'm going to let it rule in my heart. In Philippians 4 and 7, he said it this way. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God. Do not think this morning, Lord help us not to, think of this peace with God as an abstract thing. Count it as a reality. Count it as a truth. Count it as something that is substantial. Something that has merit. It has body. It has strength. And he said to you, to me, that you and I can have this peace, and it passes all understanding. And if we possess it, if we subject ourselves to its authority, if we allow it to rule and we understand this peace I have is a real thing, it's not something that is just imaginary. It is not just a feel-good feeling, but there is therefore now no condemnation. There is a freedom from the guilt of the past and the sins of the world. And he said that will keep, that has a power to sustain us, that has a power to preserve us, if you and me will allow that and keep our hearts and our minds stayed on Christ Jesus. In the tumults of life, in the storms of life, in the temptations of life, rely on this peace, depend on this peace. And then, when we are called to action, what's ruling? And it's going to produce after its own kind. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And that's a very important thought, and we'll try to pick up on that in a minute. In that, shall be called the children of God. May we this morning then understand, if that peace is ruling, then it can bring forth fruit. Then it will produce after its own kind. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. The fruit of righteousness comes forth not in you or me living to our own self and our own abilities, but in Him that died for us, that rose for us, and that now reigns within us. That peace keeps us then because it's substantial in our life. It is our safety. To me, a good description of someone that allows the peace of God to ruin their heart and consequently then brings forth fruit is found in Psalms 1, the first chapter of Psalms, in the first four verses. Happy, blessed, extremely blessed, extremely happy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He has been forgiven. He has been saved, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He's turned his back on the old life and running with the wrong crowd, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful, or listens to the counsel of those who would laugh or bring insult to the kingdom and to the word. But his delight, this new man, this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He finds the priorities changed with this peace. The new creature now puts emphasis on the security and the joy and the peace and the new life. And he said he shall be now this person, this individual. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Here's where we want so much to be able to glorify God, and that's the fruit of our life. Whatever we do in word or in deed, Paul wrote, do all to the glory of God. And we quote it so often, and I know I do, but it means so much to me. Without me, you can do nothing. We can't have this peace without Christ. And we cannot bear fruit of righteousness without Christ. So this man, in the variety of seasons, way more than four seasons in the life of a person, there's more than four seasons in just the day of an individual. Every one of us face a myriad of changing seasons. One songwriter said, in this changing world below, guide me, lead me safely as I go. Trust in thee, I'm not afraid. I can never, never lose my way. Because I have peace. I have found that pearl. I have purchased it. I have sold all. Now it will guide me. And now it will keep me. And in his seasons, in those times of call to action, call to react, call to and provoked unto something, he shall bring forth fruit as a tree that is planted by the river of water. Not in a barren, hostile environment, but watered by the Spirit, watered by the Word. Out of his belly, our inwardmost being, shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because he hadn't been glorified. But now he has been glorified. And he went back to the Father and sent to us another Comforter. And that Comforter, praise the Lord, will abide with us forever. And he will be in you. And he'll not be teaching of himself, certainly not teaching of this old world, but the things that he hears that make for peace, the very words of Christ, the very Word of God, the very things that issue forth from that river underneath the throne, that's what he'll speak to us. Not the things of, you are hurt and you got a reason to be hurt. He won't even say that to us. While someone did you wrong, you've got every right to sue them or take advantage of them now. They talked about you, you can talk about them. He won't ever say anything like that. He'll teach us of the fruit of forgiveness, of the joy of being a son of God because we've learned how to be a peacemaker through Jesus Christ. This is the man we want to be. Did you know we all, if I can stipulate this, we admire a man, an individual who has this peace and is not offended by the insults that come in life, and I don't mean personal insults, just the difficulties that come. One of the things that brings stress is trying to control the seasons. If you haven't learned this, please learn this. You can't control it. Spring is going to come when spring is supposed to come, not before. If I'd like it a little earlier, if I'd like for it to linger a little late, I have no control over that. Stress comes when you and me, it's kind of like frustration, trying to control something we can't. And you and me, as much as sometimes we might want, cannot control the seasons of life. We can't control health or sickness. Oh, we might do some things that help. We can't really control poverty or the national economy. Can't do much about that. How many of you have any control over the price of gasoline? How many of us complain about it? And how much good does that do? We are really very fragile and very weak. And we certainly have no control over the seasons. How many of us have control over death? How many of us can just by our own actions prevent death of a loved one? How many of us, by our own actions, can keep someone from misunderstanding us all the time? We don't have jurisdiction over the seasons. How many of us can make sure positively, without a doubt, our children are going to be saved? How many of us can guarantee they won't sin? We need grace, don't we? We need God. Because the seasons are not up to us. Oh, I know there are times that you and me can avoid certain seasons if we use wisdom, but I'm speaking generally now. We need God because we can't control the seasons. And what God is saying, bring forth fruit when your children are unsaved. When you've lost your companion. When gas is higher than you can pay. Someone does you wrong. When you wake up in the morning feeling great and you get a phone call and your world kind of dashes, seem like in pieces. He says, bring forth fruit. To do that, folks, we have got to have confidence. And we've got to have confidence in God. And we've got to have confidence in our relationship with God. And we've got to know, praise God, I am facing this terrible onslaught. But thank God, praise God, that I know He's on my side and there is absolutely no warfare between me and God. Gives us confidence then. Gives us a safety. Gives us a security. Gives us a knowledge that I don't and I am not facing this changing season so quickly on my own. Without that, what do we have left? Our ingenuity, our wisdom, our abilities, tit for tat, eye for an eye, cower in fear, run, hide, give up, give in. It's not an option, really. Something we don't even like to think about. Thank God this morning we can bring forth fruit because we have peace with God. He lives, He reigns within us. To me, of all the characters in the Bible, and there are some wonderful ones, I think, in my mind, Joseph was the most consistent and one of the, if not the best example of a godly man. If anyone faced changing seasons and adverse conditions, it was Joseph. We know his story, so we won't go there. But in it all, he brought forth fruit. And I'd like to read what his father said His father Jacob had to say concerning Joseph when he blessed him. As he brought forth his children and brought them before him. In Genesis 49 and 22. And I'd like to read maybe a couple of verses there. Joseph is a fruitful bough. You think about Joseph and all that he had to endure. And now we have the Holy Spirit of promise. And now we have been sealed and we have been occupied by God. Should this not challenge us? In his difficulties, Joseph and his integrity, from all we understand, was not marred. And he kept that integrity. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Because of his willingness to endure and suffer and yet maintain his integrity, the nation that was to be born from Jacob was secured, protected, fed, and prospered. God wants to prosper us with His peace, with His joy. He said, the archers have sorely grieved Him and shot in Him and hated Him. We know that's true. But His bow abode in strength, and the arm of His hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Even by God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of deep that lieth under, of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. This is what God wants to give us, that we can become a fruitful boat. That those things that as a vow, that you and me might become fruitful in the adversary. When the archer shoots at us, when the sword of the enemy is raised up against us, when our sickness and our emotions cry out for relief, and yet we have to suffer for a season. I thank God this morning. Joseph is an example under the Old Testament of one who bore fruit. And it talks about he was as a vow that was planted by a well of water. Today we can have that well of water. Today we can have peace with God. In Philippians 2 and 15. Philippians 2 and 15. That you may be blameless and harmless. Thank the Lord for that. The sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This word, I should have said this earlier, that this word vow, that Joseph was a fruitful vow, part of the definition is he's a fruitful child. Or it could be said he is a fruitful son of God. Could be put in there also. And here is what the Lord wants you and me to be, we read in Philippians. That we might be blameless and harmless sons of God. Right here in a crooked time, perverse time, a time of warfare all around us. And that we might shine forth as lights into the world. I go back to my thought. We can't do that unless we have peace with God. If the war is still raging, we're going to react to the war. We can't help ourselves, folks. If there's still a difficulty between me and God or you and God, it's unsettled. Part of our life out from under the blood, or our life out from under the blood. If there's commitments and humility that we need to have, and we haven't done that, it's going to disrupt that peace. It's going to cause us to have less than confidence before God. If our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. And it's going to disrupt that peace. And then when it comes time to trust, to believe, and to rely on, we're going to have trouble. There's going to be a difficulty then. Based on our own actions, based on our own lack of submitting and having peace with God. The songwriter said, let courage rise with danger. We can do that if we have peace with God. Then when the danger comes, we can be fruitful in it. I don't think Joseph enjoyed the prison. I don't think Joseph enjoyed being wrongly convicted. I don't think Joseph enjoyed being sold, deserted by his family. I don't think Joseph, as a young man, relish that trip into Egypt. But as far as we understand in reading the Scripture, he was fruitful. And God honored him. And God brought him out to a place of preeminence, a place of power. And by it, Jacob and the children were saved, and Israel became a great nation. God wants us to shine forth right here in this life, bearing much fruit with God. Last Scripture this morning, it's found over in Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Started to 15th verse. This is a prophecies. Israel at this time was in trouble or soon to be in trouble. And as in so many times when the Lord pronounced judgment on Israel, he always tempered that with a ray of hope. And this is what he did here also. in Isaiah 32:15. Until the Spirit be poured out, be poured upon us from on high. This is the promise. This is that they were going to have to suffer and they were going to have to go through some things. Until the Spirit be poured out, poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Jesus said, My Father's glorified in that you bring forth much fruit. Not just a little tree once in a while, but an ever-bearing, always-bearing trees of righteousness. A forest, if you will, not just a little bit. It became, he said, of the kingdom of God, it became a great nation, and it filled the whole earth. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The righteousness of God, the peace of God, in the field of our heart. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Thank God that there is a fruit. Well, first of all, that the work of God is to bring a peace in our heart. That's the work of His righteousness coming to reign in us. And the effects of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I am convinced. In quietness, in another place he speaks in the 31st, somewhere in there, 30th chapter, he speaks of confidence. With a confidence and a quietness and an assurance in our heart. A reliance upon God for everything. With every trial that we don't draw from the wells of the flesh or the wells of society, but we draw from that well of water that is within us. That well of the Holy Ghost. That great peace that we have. Everything coming forth from that drawing is glory unto God and honor unto God. And it is fruit that comes forth from a heart that is confident, that is secure, that is safe, that has the riches of God dwelling within. Then there is not this fear of failure, or fear of intimidation, or this fear of I've got to vindicate myself, and justify myself, and prove myself right. God becomes our vindicator, our justifier. God becomes our all and our all, our safety, our help, our strength, our reliance. But to know I have believed in God, and that He is able to keep that I've committed unto Him, and I rely on Him that the fruit that comes forth is the fruit of His Spirit in me. I have peace with God. And He said, the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. You know, a garden, an orchard that's given just the right amount of everything, that is protected from the pestilence, from the interlopers of the raccoons or the birds. Did you know that orchard has a wonderful opportunity to bear forth the most precious of fruits, most tasty, most productive, the most costly? Did you know this morning God wants to reign in our hearts? He wants to be the husbandman. He wants to be our tender. He wants to be our keeper. He wants to be the one who dresses the garden of our life. That you and me might be peaceful. That you and I be protected from the stress of trying to do it ourselves. The stress of living in the variety of seasons. And as we find that quiet resting place, as we find that, Sister Angela talked about to us at Monarch about the presence of God, as we find that presence an everyday affair, an everyday living being in our life, you know, we're quiet, we're calm, we're secure, we're safe, we're relaxed. And then that that's produced out of our life will exemplify what God has done on the inside. And when we're reviled, we won't revile. We'll commit ourselves back to Him. When life has thrown a season at us that in our own mind devastates us, we run to that well and we look up to Him, and He furnishes us with a peace that absolutely passes understanding. And then we bear fruit. Oh, the fruit may just be between you and God for a season. In your anguish of heart, in the trials of life, that peace might be obscured for a while from the observer. But you and God, me and God, will know. I'm not offended by this. I'm not cast off. I'm not cast down. I'm not deserted. Oh, it hurts. But praise God. I've got something on the inside that's greater than this that comes from the outside. Isn't that wonderful? So peace. If you and me want to bear fruit, and I think we all do, then let's make sure we have peace with God. You pray for me.